So we can begin again by sinking back into an upright and very relaxed body. Settling our mind in a state of ease and tranquility. Simply taking a break from our conceptual mind, our obsessive thinking mind, and coming to rest with what is. Giving up the need to create anything that is not there right now, naturally. Letting our awareness fill the entire space of our body, letting it descend throughout the body right down to the ground, grounding our body and mind in the present moment right now, cultivating an awareness that is at peace, clear and still. Beginning to observe sensations as they arise throughout the body. And whatever sensations we can feel in any part of the body, we fully abide with them. Fully staying in the present with whatever arises in this field of the body. In this way, finding a state of total relaxation of body and mind, but simultaneously being very alert and attentive, fully aware of what happens in the body, wide awake. And in this way, coming into contact again with these unmistaken methods to develop the mind. Yeah, starting with working with the thought that if we meditate with the wrong attitude, practicing single-pointedness or our vipassana practice, with a selfish motivation, looking for our own benefit and happiness alone, attached to our own desires, then even if we achieve our goal, our minds will still be agitated. We have to understand that this selfish motivation, this self-cherishing attitude, will never lead us to true happiness. It will keep us circling in a never-ending search. That is because it is not in accordance with how things exist. It is not in harmony with the interdependent nature of reality. That's why it can never lead us to realize that. It keeps us from realizing that. Only the mind that wants to develop for the benefit of others, the mind of bodhicitta, wanting to gain full understanding, full enlightenment, in order to be of benefit to others, will lead to true inner satisfaction. And why is that? Because this attitude is in harmony with the interdependent nature of reality. It is in total accordance with it, in its highest sense. In accordance because it includes each and every living being in our meditation. Not to forget even about one. With this vast mind, making this meditation an act of giving, we can come back to our object, the object of our meditation that we wish to work with, training our mind in single-pointedness. Whatever you choose, wherever you attend to single-pointedly, try to do so with an relaxed, equanimous mind, without making it a project, without expecting results, but simply attending with all your focus to the object of your meditation, keeping up a consistency of presence with this object, without distraction and without grasping. when difficulties arise. Don't force your mind back on the object, but instead refresh and increase your interest, attending more closely with curiosity. And whenever we notice that our mind has wandered away, check, where did my concentration go? And without clinging, without any second thoughts, gently resume your focus, letting go of distractions, becoming aware. Also, it has a lot to do with the determination, you know. Being clear of what we want to do, and why. And if we're not clear about that, we kind of just drift along, thinking we are concentrated, but are actually only half there. Being with our object, but simultaneously falling into the thinking mind, being very partial. Place your energy on your object. Only if we are fully there, we can make true change, and benefit occurs. Then we can take a short break to readjust your posture and stretch your legs if you need to. And then, as soon as you're ready, physically as well as mentally, you can settle back into your position. And for a few moments, simply reconnect with your object, making space in the mind, calming the mind. So in this meditation, in our second half, we are going to contemplate how to apply the five powers, these instructions of Chikawa's 7-point mind training, at the time of our own death, in order to make sure that this transition to our next life is based on the two bodhicittas. And we can begin by taking some time imagining ourselves lying in our own death bed. Your body feels very weak and heavy. You are not able to move anymore. You feel the time for death has come. Imagine this vividly, happening right this moment. And the first thing according to these five powers that we practice as soon as the time to leave this life has come is the power of positive seed. We become aware that we have to leave everything behind. Whatever material possessions, whatever reputation we gained in this life, our friends and family, even our own body, we have to leave all this behind. So try to dwell in totally detaching yourself from these things, being able to let it all go, developing the thought of giving it all away with your most meaningful aspirations. And through this, develop a sense of fearlessness, looking into the future without fear. Whatever comes, you are ready, detached from what is past. And on the basis of this, basic letting go, we venture into the power of prayer. Having left all that which is associated to this life behind, from the depths of your heart, you go for refuge to the wisdom and compassion we have acquired within us during this life, with a sense of delight we become aware of having done our best to keep our pledges and vows, going to refuge to the three jewels. And we can think, now that I finally have to go, may I be able to train in the two awakening minds during the intermediate state, as well as throughout all my lives. With this deep wish, in this way making most positive imprints in our mind at this crucial time of death, So gather your most positive thoughts and aspirations together, thinking, whatever may occur, I will keep up this practice for others. I will keep exerting myself for the benefit and welfare of all sentient beings. This automatically leads us to the third power, the power of eradication, which is practicing to now fully let go also of identifying with a constant inherently existing self. If we strongly grasp onto ourself at this time of dying, and the self being a mere imputation by the mind, not existing from its own side, then this creates the cause for another body. It is a craving to be embodied again. When we identify with the thought, what will happen to me? Where will I go? This grasping, this craving leads to another uncontrolled embodiment according to our karma. So with the knowledge wisdom of shunyata, emptiness, the interdependent nature of whatever exists, try to imagine to allow your mind to fade into space, to let go of clinging to this self that you created for yourself during all this life, but finally dropping that, letting go, releasing your awareness into space. Try to practice this fully for some time. instead of clinging to a delusional I, we venture into practicing the power of propelling intention, maintaining a virtuous state of mind throughout the entire process of leaving this life. Thinking now as I die, the most important thing is to recall the two awakening minds, so that in the dreamlike state of the bardo, I dwell in the cultivation of loving compassion and wisdom. So we do this to prepare for the time when our heart and breath have already stopped, and our consciousness has left the body, and we find ourselves in the intermediate state, the bardo. And whatever you think totally becomes your reality there, creates your environment. And that is why it is so crucial to keep the mind in this training of compassion and wisdom. So for a few moments, dwell for a time in this training, imagining being already on this subtle level of bardo, and penetrate into the nature of reality. Cultivate compassion for all beings. To have this as your only thought while dying. And then the fifth step is the power of familiarization. Imagine your final energies are waning. Although being lucid during this time, letting go completely whatever has been familiar to you, releasing it. And what is left? What is here? It is the two bodhicittas. And while we still have breath, we can do tonglen, breathing in the suffering of the world, and with every out-breath offering all our happiness. Imagine to do this for a while. then also moving to ultimate bodhicitta, releasing your awareness into space, resting in being aware of being aware without clinging to anything, totally letting go. And you can ask yourself, who is it that dies? And this body, it decays. It stops to function. But what is this? What is it that this I that dies? Wasn't it just fiction created during your life? Labeled on this body? This brain, this personal history. And as soon as your awareness becomes vague, go back to practice Tonglen. And slowly move back and forth between these two practices. Practicing the two bodhicittas while dying is dying perfectly. For some time, practice and alternate between these practices, imagining it as the last thing to do while you are conscious. Slowly, you can bring your meditation session to a close. And as a dedication for this session, we can think that we have to make effort to familiarize ourselves enough with these practices so that we can really apply them at the time of our death, when this is most important. Seeing that all spiritual practice literally is a preparation for this most important event of our life, our passing to the next life. So may this be so. May this meditation be the cause for this to happen, that we can familiarize ourselves with these two bodhicittas even more, dedicating all our practice to all sentient beings, and that we may be able to create the cause to continue this practice in the future, so that on the long run we may become a fully realized being, so we can perfectly, most effectively, be of benefit to others. And now you can end your session in your own time.